Hey guys, Tommy Kearns here, and you're listening to the Ride and Talk BMW Motorrad podcast. Here's your host, Andy Dukes.
Thanks, Tommy. You all know Tommy Kearns, right? He's the host of the Bavarian Soul Story film series from BMW Motorrad about the route to the Concept R18 and the journey to series production of the big boxer cruiser. We'll be catching up with him later in the show, but for now, it's international GS Trophy matters that we're concerned with. I was lucky enough to make the trip over to Munich this week, where well over 100 F850 GS bikes are being meticulously prepared for trophy action. I grabbed a quick chat with Head of Product Management Christian Pingitzer to find out more. Okay, I'm delighted to tell you that I'm in a secret location, somewhere near Munich, and I have standing in front of me a GS Trophy 2020 bike. This is very exciting. I'm here with the BMW Motorrad Head of Product Management, Christian Pingitzer. Hi, Christian.
Hi, Andy.
Good to see you. Now, you're one of a small group of people who is actually responsible for getting the International GS Trophy off the ground in the first place. How did that happen?
Well, it was quite some years ago. We were pleased to see what our South African colleagues were doing with the so-called GS Challenge. And they were inviting GS riders to a remote location in South Africa and had quite some adventures there. And we liked the idea very much. So we picked that up for the launch of the HP2 Enduro, if some people will remember. And we were inviting dealers to present the bike and doing some exercises and challenges. And during that event, me and some colleagues were sitting down after a few beers, some evenings, that we should do something bigger out of that. And that where the idea of the International GS Trophy was born, with national qualifiers and the International GS Trophy.
A lot of people have got a lot to thank you for that, Christian, especially me. But here we are, 11 years and six trophies later, with another one on the way in a few months. So it's just incredible. I mean, the first three International GS trophies used the awesome F800 GS before moving on to the R1200 GS Boxer in 2014 for the next three. Now you're returning to the F series that started it all. Can you tell us about the reasons behind choosing the F850 GS as the official bike for International GS Trophy 2020?
Yes, of course. We always wanted to show that our mid-range and big GSs are both capable of riding the GS Trophy. And so the riders in the first three trophies were doing the GS Trophy with the 800 GSs, but we also had marshals with the big GS with us, so it was always a mix of bikes. And dependent on which bike came out a few months earlier, so we could use it for the trophy and prepare, was mostly the choice of showing one or the other GS with the trophy. So this year, we are proud to have the F850 GS with us that was launched last year and now ready and prepared to be used in 2020.
Fantastic. Of course, it's such a long way to New Zealand for most of us. So what about the actual terrain that people, you know, can expect to encounter over there? What's it going to be like for the riders on the bikes?
Well, first of all, New Zealand is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. It's incredible scenery, and you want to take pictures at every corner. But beside of that, it's also a quite challenging terrain. It is a lot of gravel roads. It's a lot of water, as you can imagine. It's mountains. If it's dry, it can be very dusty, partially, but that will depend on the weather. It's late summer there when we go there, so we will find out, but we can have also some cold nights. So it's a mix of weather dependent on the selected routes and the altitude and the circumstances.
Now, there are 23 teams confirmed from across the globe, including one or two female teams as well, which will be decided at the end of this month in Spain. That's around 70 riders, plus 23 journalists, plus marshals, plus extras. So how many bikes would you say have been prepared for next year's event?
According to our project team, we are preparing up to 140 motorcycles.
Wow. Well, I mean, in the old days of sail and steam power, it used to take several months to get to New Zealand. And I gather that these bikes are also going by sea freight. So any idea when they're going to arrive in New Zealand?
They will be going into sea freight in October, and the arrival should be a couple of weeks before the trophy will start. So it's quite a trip for the bikes through sea, and hopefully they will arrive safe and no storms around the famous sea routes.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Yeah, now I'm looking at one of these special edition bikes right here, I believe it's come off the production line, a dedicated production line in Berlin. Is that right?
That's exactly right. We have one special production line where we produce our authority bikes, and that gives us the freedom compared to the normal serial bikes that everyone can buy, that we can combine a unique combination of options and sometimes even accessories. And that is what we need for authorities, but that gives us the freedom to also produce a special edition bike for the trophy.
Now, just looking at this, it's got a beautiful black and yellow color scheme. And I can also see, I mean, if you've not seen this already, get online and check it out. We've got pictures of it online right now. I can see it's also equipped with quite a few special parts designed, obviously, to protect the bike in the various tough conditions that riders will encounter in New Zealand, but also in certain cases to make life more comfortable for the riders. So let's have a chat about these. Tell me what extra parts these bikes have been equipped with, Christian.
Okay, let's start in the front. We have, starting with the ergonomics, we have raised handlebars for the standing position during the trophy. And as I mentioned, the colder temperatures, we have heated grips, of course, and protection for the hands, if stones are flying around. Also, we have a higher windscreen. We have the LED auxiliary headlights. We have headlight protection, also for the same reason like the handlebar protectors. We have LED turn signals, and also for the rough underground, we mounted aluminium bash plate underneath the bike. For the standing position and off-road use, harder off-road use, we of course mounted our adjustable gear shifters and foot brake levers, so everyone can adjust his ergonomic position for riding.
So just to clarify, sure. that means that it doesn't matter how big your feet are or what kind of position you like to adopt on the bike, you can pretty much adapt that to suit.
Exactly. So that's very important, because if you have a very specially adapted ergonomic position, you can do your perfect riding. If not, you always compromise and you have to bend your back if the handlebar is too low, or you cannot reach the brakes perfectly if your feet are too tall or too small. So that is very important for a successful riding experience.
And that will be part of the setup that riders do on the day that they get to New Zealand and get united with their bikes. Part of the fun of that is seeing them adjust various bits just to suit their positions, because you're going to have people there from 1.50 meters to well over 2 meters tall. So
absolutely, if you see that live, it probably takes in average 3 to 3.4 seconds till they tear out their tools and already altering the first things on the bike. Sometimes we have to prevent them not to take serious important pieces off the bike just because they're used to or they like it. So they're adapting the bike exactly to their need.
Yeah, and those look like enduro footrests as well.
That's true. They give you the perfect grip during the exercises, especially special stages and the off-road hard terrain riding. And we have also mounted the rally seat for that purpose. And of course, we have engine protection bars in case the bike will fall in one or the other case, as it happens during the trophy.
Yeah, I mean, from my experience, I've also noticed that the engine protectant, the bars themselves are used for a lot more than protecting the bike. You know, they're used for grabbing, they're used for hauling the bike over various obstacles, they're used in certain cases for towing. So yeah, it's an essential component for a GS trophy, right?
Absolutely, especially with the boxer engine sticking out. This time we have a two-cylinder twin engine, but still it can get damages in off-road terrain when the bike falls, so we need the engine protection bar, of course. We also have mounted off-road tires and a sport exhaust to make it suitable for that use. For the luggage, we have adapted the bike a little bit, and we have a luggage rack with a case holder. But for the pillion, we have a small luggage bag so that the riders can put their most important stuff directly onto the bike and not run around with a rucksack or something, because that is also dangerous if you fall or you run around all the time with some extra weight on the back that doesn't help during the trophy. So that bag is quite useful.
Yeah, that's a really neat little bag, and I guess that's for all of the tools and essentials, and most importantly, the water that they'll need to carry to rehydrate on the trail as
and
well.
Maybe a small rain jacket if necessary.
Yeah, it's New Zealand after all, yeah. Now that looks like a big TFT screen in front of me as well, so I guess these bikes are all connected up as well.
Yes, they're all connected. That's the BMW connectivity integrated in the TFT's screen, and that connects up to the BMW communication system for our Enduro and other helmets, so the rider can be connected to the bike, and that is, of course, integrated. Further on, we also have the full pro modes, riding modes on there. That includes ABS Pro, the DTC, and Dynamic ESA is also integrated. And the riding modes, of course, have an Enduro Pro system, which is very usable under hard off-road conditions.
Any other packages that you want to tell me about?
Yeah, we have the BMW Motorrad Navigator, but that will not be mounted for all the riders because, of course, the marshals are the ones who know the way and not all the riders. Otherwise, everyone would go separately. Can't do this. So we have that navigation system mounted at a special position to be suitable for standing position as well.
Yeah.
And that's about the main accessories and special options that we have equipped to this very special bike for the trophy.
Okay, that's the bike. It all looks and sounds like it's going to be fantastic and extremely well equipped. So what are the riders themselves are going to be wearing?
Of course, we will equip the riders with our Rally Pro suit, Enduro suit, and that is perfect for this trip. And most of them will also have the BMW Enduro helmet, just in case. The helmets are a very personal issue, so if a helmet doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. And some riders don't have that, but the majority will have the Enduro helmet, and also our Enduro boots, and the rally boots, and our Enduro gloves. So that would be the perfect set. You will see some exceptions like the last years, but that's what we equip the riders with.
Sounds fantastic. Well, thanks for explaining all this to us, Christian. I'm sure that the new International GS Trophy participants are listening now and seriously excited to hear about the bike they're going to be riding over there. Certainly looks fantastic, I can tell you that. And of course, many other GS fans listening are going to be hoping there's going to be some kind of limited edition F850 GS Trophy bike that they can perhaps order after the trophy. What are the chances of this?
Well, it's definitely a beautiful bike, and if so many people like it, we'll definitely give it a good thought and see what we can do.
All right. Well, that's a good enough answer for me. Thanks ever so much for talking to us, Christian. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Andy.
If you've not seen the first episode of The Bavarian Soul Story, get online and check it out. It's an inspiring history lesson with a difference. I caught up with its host, Tommy Kern, at the recent Pure and Crafted event in Amsterdam, where the crew was filming episode 2. So great to see you, Tommy. How are you enjoying the Pure and Crafted vibe?
It's definitely a really cool show. I mean, never been to Amsterdam, so it's really cool to kind of be here and see the show happening here in Amsterdam. It's a beautiful city. Definitely a lot of aesthetics is here in the city. The Pure and Crafted show is definitely kind of feels like home as well, because it's just, you know, it's the lifestyle, it's the fashion, it's the music, it's the motorcycles, it's all kind of here under one roof, and it definitely feels cool to be here and kind of see what the show has been all about. Getting to see it on like a digital screen for so long and now being here to be part of it, definitely a cool experience.
So what exactly are you filming here with the crew?
So I'm here with BMW Motorrad, and we are filming episode 2 of the Bavarian Soul Story. What we're talking about today is it's a big day for BMW Motorrad as we're launching the Heritage Collection, which is their clothing line that is launching in conjunction with the production bike or the big boxer motor bike that'll be coming in 2020.
So how have you enjoyed the phenomenal reaction to the opening episode of the Bavarian Soul Story?
So this is a funny question, just because this is being on YouTube, being doing videos or vlogging or whatever it's actually called is so outside of my wheelhouse, but it's really cool. It's cool to see the reaction, it's cool to see the response, and it's cool to be a part of that story, just because it is something, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, it's really just outside of my wheelhouse, so it's really cool to not only see the response to the bike, but just seeing people come together and be genuinely excited about the bike and about the series.
And of course, an added bonus to that is I bet you've learned loads of cool things about the brand's heritage.
Yeah, this whole experience has been an eye-opening event. The quick, like, you know, if I could summarize it, is BMW is walking into the cruiser market, but in this whole instance, BMW has been in the cruiser market this whole time since 1923 when, you know, their first bike came out. So it's cool to see a big box company like BMW Motorrad going back to their roots and really embracing the history and the past of what made them them and bringing that to a whole new kind of consumer demographic.
Now, you're one of the few lucky ones who has ridden the Concept R18. So there's a lot of people out there listening who are dying to know just how good it is to ride.
I can't give away all the nitty-gritty details because then, I mean, we have to sell these motorcycles or people have to buy these motorcycles. But I have to say, I've ridden modern BMWs and I've ridden old BMWs. And there's always that one little signature detail of that boxer motor and it's there. And it's just like, you hit that throttle and you take off and it's just like, you start grinning ear to ear and it's just like, you know you're riding a BMW, and I think they hit the nail on the head with embodying the soul of the motorcycle with the R18 concept, and I think the production bike's going to be a lot of fun to ride.
That's brilliant. Thanks for talking to us. You're a lucky guy. Enjoy making the rest of the series, Tommy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tommy. We're all looking forward to the upcoming episodes and learning more about the big boxer bike that's heading our way. And thanks, Christian, for the insights into the International GS Trophy bikes for the 2020 event in New Zealand. Speaking of which, our next podcast is out on the 22nd of October and features an exclusive interview with the two presenters who are going to be bringing us daily GS Trophy highlights from the other side of the world. And as there's been such an amazing response to the new R9T/5 model, we'll take a journey back in time with BMW Motorrad historian Fred Jacobs, exactly 50 years ago, in fact, when the world was a very different place, and the original Slash 5 started a love affair that continues to this day. Don't miss it.